Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 25th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is Hour 2 of 2, the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It's all about principle, people. Don't forget it. It's all about morality in the people, and then based on principle. Look, I don't love or hate anybody. Well, I shouldn't say I don't love anybody. I'm just saying I don't love or hate with my decisions. I don't pick people and stick with them and then jettison other people. And it's not a people discussion. It's a principle discussion. And when somebody advocates for correct principle, I'll say they're right. When they don't, I'll say they're wrong, and I'll explain why. And, of course, I'm not perfect either, but I do have to do my very best to stand for principle. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, faith-filled Friday. And welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you again. End of many people's work week, but you got another day on this thing. By the way, on this day, 59 years ago, a tragedy occurred. It's a tragedy of immense proportions that we're not only continuing to suffer from, it's exacerbated each day by the mentality it's created in the nation, and that is the Supreme Court excommunicated God from the public education system on this date in 1962. Can you imagine? I mean, before that time, all of the negative indicators that you might find were diminishing in school, and all the positive indicators were improving. And, I mean, you know, even stuff like standardized tests on scores were going up. In fact, now we have to regularly renorm those testing scores and the questions even, because it seems like somehow the students perform worse and worse and worse constantly. And so they don't want that look to come up so much. And so they change the way they're patterning and there's questioning, and it makes it so it doesn't look quite so bad as it is in society, but we've become a society that educates towards social agendas rather than what education is there for, teaching you to think but not what to think. And so these new methods of education have proven to be abject failures, and I think that much of that really started in 1962, on the 25th of June, when the Supreme Court removed the source of all knowledge and light from our public education system. Can you believe the audacity of such a thing?
Now, let's be clear about this. This is not United States versus Board of Education or Board of Education thing, right?
No, but it's the prayer thing, that public sanctioned prayer.
No, I understand. No, I want to make sure people understand this, though.
Okay.
So the Board of Education thing came after this decision. And I believe that this decision led to the broader abuses later. And that's kind of the reason that I focus on this. This was the pivotal point, the start of the downhill slide, huh?
Well, I don't know it was a start. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, in mortality, things tend to degrade. I mean, unless there's something renewing and holding it up. And by the way, we're on a magnificent earth that's kind of a self-renewing process that God granted us, so that for thousands of years, goodness gracious, we get these cycles of weather, and the soil brings forth, you know, food for us, and the skies bring forth the rain to continue. I mean, there's all sorts of things that happen in this self-renewing earth. But in mortal things, you know, things rust. They get tired. They wear out. You know, I've got a 1965 vehicle that, man, it's tired. I'd love to have the money to replace the engine. But, you know, stuff happens in mortality. But we need to continue to renew with something that uplifts, something that, you know, put a fresh coat of paint on things. And if we don't do that, things tend to fall apart. So, I don't know. It is a very, very, we got to be sensitive to it all the time. you know. So, but basically, this was a school. The Supreme Court banned the school-sponsored prayer in public schools in 1962. So that's kind of what I just brought up today, June 25th. So, and it has gone down. It was the Engel versus Vital case, by the way. But, I mean, you know, we don't have to make it our center of our discussion. It's just that it's interesting to me that sometimes it seems like there's a hinge point, and we're at hinge points in America, and I think this year we are in a hinge point right now with many things, everything from critical race theory and the way that we're exponentially expanding the size of government intervention, the way we've overstepped our bounds in regards to individual God-given rights, this idea that compulsory stuff that there is no right to do, not America. I mean, other countries claim that. But, yeah, we're at a hinge point right now, and the hinges seem to be swinging pretty wide this time.
And that's why I say the prayer in schools discussion was one of those pivotal points that you kind of speak of.
Yeah.
We've got 50 years now without official school prayer. Think about the results, right?
Well, actually, 59 years today is when they did that. See, when I was a kid, we used to have school prayer every morning. And, you know, people today, you can't. Oh, that's going to bring a lot of pressure on people. It's going to be. But to my opinion, it was an expression of diversity, really. I mean, a Jewish kid may say this prayer, a Catholic kid that prayer, a Mormon kid that prayer. And I mean, the kids would get. I mean, it was individuals got up and gave a prayer according to their understanding. And it was like, oh, that's how Jewish kids pray. I mean, what difference did it make that they were doing that? And it was really, really, truly an invocation of bringing God into the classroom, you know. And so they thought that was too scary a thing nowadays. When I was a kid, you know, running in school hallways was a pretty big sin. Not tucking your shirt in, chewing gum. Oh my goodness, don't get caught doing that. Nowadays, they got people shooting each other in school. I mean, look how far we've fallen. I mean, we used to bring guns to school. First of all, there were shooting ranges in schools in those days. There was a lot of people that had shooting clubs, rifle clubs, and so on. Some of us would bring guns to school for various reasons. I mean, you know, going rabbit hunting after school, or you'd gone duck hunting before school or something. But they weren't to do mass murders. Some kids kept their guns in their lockers. Some gave them in the principal's office. One guy one day brought a pistol to school to sell to another kid. You know, this was in high school. And the two guys were standing there by the locker talking about it. And teacher walks up and says, "Hey, guys, what's going on?" And they say, "Well, I'm selling this pistol to him." And the teacher says, "Can I see it?" He looked at it, says to the kid, "You going to buy it?" And the guy says, "I don't know. I haven't decided yet." And he says, "Well, if he doesn't, I will." I mean, it was a non-issue. Now it's a federal offense. Everybody goes to jail. I mean, and it's just astounding to me how it's changed since we.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about prayer in school, the case that kicked God out of the schools on June 25th, 1962. The case was Engel versus. What is it, Vitale? Yeah, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that based on the Establishment Clause in the First Amendment, the government can't sponsor a prayer and require school children to say it. Very interesting, unique, manipulated wording of the Establishment Clause, huh, Doctor?
Well, it's interesting to me that the perspective that's been taken, and it had been ramping up to this, I must admit, that there's a lot of people that had been angry about God, and there still is today, but the perspective has been that there must be an adversarial relationship between you know, the government and God. I guess that's the only way to put it. But nothing could be further from the proof, and I say evidence would indicate if you had this only and sole single case that it would be that would not be the case. I think this would be adequate proof. What that instance is in 1789, September 25th, 1789, Congress, House and the Senate, voted by 2/3 margin to send. There were actually 12 proposed amendments, and 10 got ratified and were put on the Constitution in December of 1791. But they sent 12 proposed amendments out to the states for ratification. And the one that ended up being the First Amendment, but was really the third based upon what they had sent out, was this First Amendment now that we got that has this religious clause in it. And that same Congress, that same day, 25th of September, 1789, passed a resolution requiring George Washington to call a national day of fasting and prayer. So the guys that created the First Amendment says, okay, let's turn to God, and the nation should fast and pray before God because of our gratitude for his goodness to us and allowing us to bring forth this Constitution and these great protections. And that was conveyed to George Washington on 3rd of October, 1789. He put out his prayer proclamation. And they had that in the third week of November. And this was done by act of Congress that had just passed what became the First Amendments. There is not an adversarial relationship intended by any of this.
And ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, you know what? They've used that manipulative case to browbeat people into really carrying out by force propaganda. Dr. Bradley in seconds. FreedomsRisingSun.com.
Your call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening ear. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Dr. Scott Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm calling it a pivotal point in history where in 1962, today, 59 years ago, they literally jettisoned God. And they said no prayer in school. What they really tried to do is they nuanced this and they said, oh, you know, the problem is the government can't sponsor a prayer and you can't force children to say it. Well, I don't know that if we pray in school that the government's sponsoring it at all. And I don't know that we're forcing anybody to say anything. So the problem is that, though, has been manipulated and used to browbeat, doctrinate, and misuse the First Amendment to the point where, you know what, most people believe that you can't pray in school, you wouldn't dare, etc. You can't talk about God in school, you can't bring your Bible to school, you can't worship and read as you choose. And this is the lie that they've manipulated the court case decision into. Brown versus Board of Education was on the heels of that. The downhill slide 50 years later, instead of chewing gum being the problem, and bringing your Bible to school, or maybe the offense of saying a prayer. Now we just have shootings and rape and drugs and pillage and plunder and flat-out communism being taught in the government schools, not to mention the sex perversions that are going on. Other than that, it's not so bad there, Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, how far does the slippery slope go? I mean, I've just been informed I've been deplatformed from YouTube because I spoke last night and posted a video in regards to a question that came up about the incentives that some states were giving to obtain the jab. And I mean, so here, First Amendment, Second Amendment, everything but the Third Amendment seems to be on the table right now, being pulled out from underneath us. And so what we have is a free speech issue. I thought what I said was rather innocuous and factual and all that kind of stuff. But because maybe just because I called it a jab instead of a vaccine, who knows? But the fact of the matter is everything. Oh, by the way, another question that came up in my question and answer session last night was in regards to critical race theory being taught in U.S. Military Academy at West Point. And that is this divisive Marxist approach to things. Everything, I mean, it is astounding to me, the implosion that is occurring in this nation in this day. I mean, and we have fallen, we're in more than free fall. I mean, I don't know how you can accelerate beyond that unless you put jet engines on it and run it into the ground. That's where we're going right now. And so America really is a different place than where I grew up. I mean, it's, you know, you think back of when I was a kid, you know, Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, Ozzie and Harriet. I mean, you know, all of those innocuous kind of stable family relationships and those kinds of things. It's all on the rocks and on the ropes. And it's, we're kind of like that proverbial frog in that most people that grew up in a generation after me probably thinks this is normal. I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to ask one someday. So it's a strange time we live in.
Wow. Very strange indeed, ladies and gentlemen. And this is something that we really need to understand. You've mentioned this on the broadcast quite often, and I want to mention this right now as well. You know, when you have one act of something that doesn't make sense, you can chalk it up to coincidence, circumstance, whatever. I know people say there are no coincidences, but I'm just saying you can chalk it up to not intentional. When you see a train of abuse and usurpations and violations, starting from this case of jettisoning prayer and God in schools all the way down to the present day, you begin to see this pattern that is undeniable. Their goal is to jettison God from schools, from society, and eventually from your home. That is their agenda. And you jettison the prayers in schools in 1962, and in modern day you say you can't even worship at your church, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, this idea of the peaceable assembly kind of thing. In fact, just give you another example of this, how the First Amendment's on the ropes, and then I'll give you the exact quote if you're interested about that single act of tyranny you referred to that I often refer to. We were planning a public event, free of charge, commemoration of the independence of the United States, you know, it was a spiritual kind of thing, and there was a public event location available that used to be used for these kinds of things. Anyway, we contacted the organization. It was a municipality that controlled it, and they wanted us to obtain a mass meeting permit from the health department. It cost $225. And an application process that would be used to, you know, go through the hoops to say we can get together and peaceably assemble to commemorate the birth of this nation. I mean, this is this is a little farm community. You would have thought, okay, these guys are probably not so scared to death that they're gonna put up a roadblock on this thing. But no, they wanted the health department to intervene. And that's how they prevented us from doing it. So the 4th of July weekend is not going to at least have something, you know, big offering to the community that you know, we've historically done a lot of those things. But the health department, now, unconstitutionally, without passing a law, certainly not a constitutional, it was an edict. The wave of the magic wand, a monarchical decree, you know, the king's word is the law kind of thing. And suddenly, we can't even gather to commemorate the birth of the nation in accordance to the way that was indicated it ought to be done by John Adams. That was going to be the basis of our gathering. And it was a spiritual kind of thing, the recognition of what a blessing it was in our lives. Strange things. Every moment, every time we turn around, there's another impediment. So
yeah,
what you were referring
it's always on this fear doctrine where you've got to trade your liberty for security. By golly, we live in perilous times, Doctor. This edict is really important, and we got to do it. And, you know, we'll talk about the Constitution after the crisis is over, okay? But what they're jettisoning is the reality that, you know what, the crisis of the day is exactly what the Constitution was written for. The separation of powers, the chaining down of bureaucrats and out-of-control tyrannical thugs was designed by the Constitution to say, we're going to chain you down, we can stop you, we can... And it's broken in America today, and it's broken because of the immorality of the people, number one. And number two, most people don't even know their rights, and how do you protect them if you don't know them? How do you insist on them if you don't know them? When we continue to elect tyrants, we get what we get. People say, well, Sam, the election's a fraud. We can't even rely on that. You know, well, if you went to every single precinct in America and demanded accountability and demanded or lawsuit, responsibility on this thing, we could change the game. But everybody just wants to trust Congress to solve it, and then they create a capital riot to ignore it, and then they jettison their responsibility to dig into it, and then we go, golly, we lost that one. Oh well. Oh, we lost Obamacare too. Oh well. And we just march on, where Republicans are 20 years behind the Democrats is all they are, but the people aren't engaged enough to stand up and stop it. And the check and balance of we the people, the founders said you have a republic if you can keep it. We're not keeping it because we don't understand what we're even trying to keep. Dr.
You know,
Bradley,
it's interesting.
So the 4th of July, that's a poignant point.
It is indeed. And you know, you talk about that fear factor. You know, you mentioned Franklin's statement, you know, that they who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And, you know, he said this well over 200 years ago. And here we are today. You know, there's kind of a pattern that we're seeing, and that's I think goes with the COVID panic. You know, you deal on people's fear, then you try and flatter them along to go along with it, then you offer them bribes, and then comes the force. Okay, so that we're in the cycle that we're finishing up the bribes portion. I think that with the jab, what you've got is about as many people want the jab as are going to get it. And they've done all sorts of, you know, drawings and prizes and all that kind of stuff. And then comes the worry about the force. And by the way, the Florida law that was passed here just the other day allows, by any means, force to be put in there. That doesn't allow mandated passports in Florida. It allows force to get you vaccinated. But so here we go.
Now this is interesting because Ron signed this, right? Everybody's, you know, praising Ron DeSantis, but he signed this.
He did indeed, and it allows, by any means necessary, to compel you to receive it. That's part of the wording of it. Now, you know, you say again, you brought up this single acts of tyranny thing. You know that Jefferson said single acts of tyranny may be ascribed to an accidental opinion of the day, but a series of oppression begin at a distinguished period and pursued unalterably through every change of ministers too plainly prove a deliberate, systematical plan of reducing us to slavery. So all of these little screw-ups that happened now, oh, by golly, how'd that get past me? Good grief. That's like back in 1967. Now we've got to take another break. But this is astounding to me how often this happens by people that we claim are good and noble people that just, oh, they goofed up. Oh.
I can't accept it, ladies and gentlemen, because the train of usurpations continues. It becomes beyond a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy reality against your liberty. Beware. Be absolutely vigilant. Quick pause. We're moving to another subject in seconds.
Pursuing liberty. Using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
A massive rescue effort continues Friday morning in Surfside, Florida, just north of Miami. A partial building collapse Thursday has resulted with 99 people still being unaccounted for. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on Fox News.
You know, when people are unaccounted for, sometimes that's the hardest thing because they just don't know. And they're obviously bracing for the worst, but they're still hoping for the best. And the search and rescue does go on.
Miami-Dade officials said structural engineer teams of 10 to 12 were carrying out operations underneath the rubble in an effort to shore up the precarious weight load. Three bipartisan lawmakers leading negotiations on a comprehensive police reform package have reached a preliminary bipartisan agreement Thursday. Senators Tim Scott, Cory Booker, and Representative Karen Bass. GOP lawmakers have argued that qualified immunity is necessary for cops, something Democrats won't back, saying accountability among law enforcement officers is paramount. USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyn for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals, bailout broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyn Root Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
Vice President Kamala Harris, after nearly 100 days as President Biden's pick to resolve the border crisis, will finally visit the border firsthand. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Vice President Harris is set to visit El Paso, Texas on Friday so she can get a look at the illegal immigrant surge at the border. Texas Democrat Congressman Henry Cuellar tells Fox News he's happy that the vice president is taking action and going down to the border.
Glad that she's going down to the border because that is part of her job portfolio, number one. And number two, the epicenter is down there in the lower Rio Grande, the lower part of my district down there.
Republicans argue that the vice president should have visited the border a long time ago.
New York State Attorney General Letitia James is not offering a timeline into sexual harassment allegations made against fellow Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo. She says, it concludes when it concludes. End quote. USA Radio News.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, a law signed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will allow for forced vaccinations. DeSantis promised that he would not force COVID-19 vaccinations. He lied, Dr. Bradley.
Well, that's the whole mess with this thing. I mean, you got this hero guy that everybody's holding up as an icon on this. And it's like I started to bring up before, in 1967, you know, so what was that, 54 years ago, Ronald Reagan, as governor of California, signed a Therapeutic Abortion Act. The year before, there had been 518 legal abortions in California. The rest of his term, every year, was 100,000 legal abortions in California during his term. I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, oh, man, dang it, I messed up. And he supposedly had great repentance over it and everything like that. But why do you do things like that? I mean, it opened the floodgates, and he claims, well, they misinterpreted it. But this new law that was just signed in Florida that allows that kind of thing to happen, well, it leaves you speechless. You can't hardly chew your tongue. You're saying, well, how did that get in there, you know? And it's surprise, surprise, look what this did. And it's like what Utah did a year ago in our spring. They made worse everything that the governor had, by a wave of a magic wand and judicial and executive and every kind of decree you could come up with, a monarchical rule kind of thing, the legislature made it worse. And they had started it a few years before by granting unconstitutional emergency powers, which violated the Utah Constitution because it allowed the governor to legislate without going through the constitutional process. All of these things come, well, like I say, they're either ignorant, they're deceived, or they're deceivers. And I'm becoming more and more confident that people can't be that stupid. They're probably deceivers in the to the core. And that means replacements in order. You can't fix that corruptibility that's already there, I don't think. You gotta come in and fix these. Look at Donald Trump with his red flag laws. Oh no, he says, I know, we'll fix the due process things after we've seized the firearms. What? That isn't how the American system works. We're getting
cognitive. The only reason I can think these politicians do this, when they sound so, you know, educated and ready to defend liberty, is that they are compromised in some way. And so as a result, then they can be blackmailed into saying, you know, or doing whatever the case may be. So is Ron DeSantis blackmailed? I don't know. All I know is the law signed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is absolutely insane. He says no mandated passports, but yet you can mandate a vaccine. You could force a vaccine. He promised he wouldn't do it, and he lied. Anyway, enough of that. No, I want to move to another subject before the end of the hour that I want Dr. Scott Bradley to speak about. Headline says this: Capitol Police cop is horrified at lack of help from bosses. Senate report outlines security and intelligence failures during the January 6th riot. So there's a cop that's anonymous that's speaking out based on this report. The warnings were there at least 2 weeks in advance, but they never made it to the officers on the ground in the January 6th riot. That's one of the takeaways, they say, from a bipartisan Senate investigation, bipartisan Senate investigation of the intelligence and security failures surrounding the riots. The report, conducted by the Unconstitutional Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee and the Rules Committee, catalogs the missteps and suggests some fixes, they claim. Some highlights of that report: the attack was, quite frankly, planned in plain sight. Democratic Senator Gary Peters, head of the Homeland Security Panel, told reporters, there was significant widespread and unacceptable breakdowns in the intelligence gathering on this topic, he continued, per the Washington Post. The failure to adequately assess the threat of violence on that day contributed significantly to the breach of the Capitol, they claim. In late December 2020, intelligence officers with the Capitol Police picked up messages from pro-Trump supporters, they claim, saying things like, surround every building with a tunnel entrance exit. They better dig a tunnel all the way to China if they want to escape. That was all briefed by Politico. Another wrote, quote, bring guns. It's now or never. Now, they say the FBI and Homeland Security similarly picked up such threats, they claim. But no one agency seemed to coordinate. So on January 3rd, the Capitol Police intelligence assessment warned of the possibility of violence, but it was not repeated in subsequent reports. The FBI warned the Capitol Police of potential war the night before the rally. So you've got two warnings within a couple of days right before the rally. In what the Post describes as a casually worded email. But that didn't translate into proper precautions is the problem. One remedy suggested by the report is to make it easier for the head of the Capitol Police to summon the National Guard quickly. That's what the Wall Street Journal's reporting. Another is to house the different intelligence gathering units of the Capitol Police in a single centralized location. The AP notes this account from an anonymous Capitol Police officer. I was horrified that no deputy chief or above was on the radio or helping us. Listen carefully. For hours, the screams on the radio but no answer by anybody in any high-level position to take control of the situation. The sights were unimaginable, and there was a complete loss of control. For hours, no chief or above took command at all. Officers were begging and pleading for help for the triage. This report does not dig into the causes of the riot, only the related security failures. It comes after a few weeks after Senate Republicans blocked the bipartisan commission they claimed to look into this thing. All right, now, sorry to be so long-winded, but I want to get the whole story out, Dr. Bradley. And the reason that I want to highlight this is because I'm convinced if one intelligence failure, and this is, we go back to this point that I was making, if one intelligence failure, I get it, maybe true. But when you have report after report after report after report, and none of those reports make it to the top, and then on the day of the event, nobody at a higher level to coordinate and to take control of the situation while these police officers, look, the police officers are left hung out to dry, and the people were betrayed, and the intelligence, you could say, well, if one report didn't make it, I get it, but every single report all the way from December through January, multiple reports a couple of days in advance, openly planned these insurrections by certain individuals. I believe it was all by design, and then blamed on everybody to cast a wide net. They've caught the first person now. They busted her. No jail time, just a misdemeanor. She didn't commit any violence, but she walked around. She caught the plea deal, and they say the first person now is busted 6 months later. But this is a train of usurpations. How do you miss all these intelligence errors, and then nobody's at the top to even help? There's no coordinating person on the radio for hours? This is not an accident, Dr. Bradley.
You know, there are so many similarities to these kinds of these things that precipitated an outcome that seems in many instances to have been pre-planned. I mean, whether you look at the Pearl Harbor attack and how that was carried out, and the criminal, not just negligence, but participation of people like Marshall and FDR and that thing. You look at the Gulf of Tonkin incident that really wasn't in 1964, that it ended up being in the cause, well, the hinge point, if you will, that allowed Vietnam to crumble as it did. You look at the Oak City bombing. You look at the stuff that happened on 9/11. I mean, the idea of provocateurs never seems to come into people's minds, that there were insiders that were inciting things. You look at what happened back in the riots a year ago, that it would seem, and I think there's pretty strong evidence, that there was pretty high-level support of that happening, you know, the dropping off of bricks on street corners to be able to make sure they had something to toss at everybody. It's just astonishing to me. And I go back to what I think is probably a model that they're using today. In 1848, Marx and Engels had a charge to get the Communist Manifesto ready. I guess we'll come back to that after the break and show how they always use these pre-planned things.
You are listening to the one and only, ladies and gentlemen, Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam Bushman, Scott Bradley, the doctor in the house. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website, weekly webinars on the Constitution, Q&As, and more, as well as this collegiate series, To Preserve the Nation. FreedomsRisingSun.com. Liberty Roundtable Live continues in mere seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Dr. Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. You're mentioning the communism focus there, Dr. Bradley, the Communist Manifesto, right?
What happened in 1848 was that Marx and Engels had been given a charge by their handlers that they needed to have ready for print. They wanted by the end of January. I think they ended up handing it over the end of February, or in February at least, 1848. They needed to have it ready to go to print. Well, why was that? Well, because professional revolutionaries, provocateurs, had been work all across Europe, and they were intending to launch what would appear to be spontaneous, you know, outbreaks of rioting and just, you know, civil disobedience and all that kind of stuff that was supposed to look like it was precipitated by the fact that everybody was so excited. Look, someone has captured our hearts and minds with this, you know, with this document. And oh my goodness, it's time. It's time for us to bring about these things. And so there were plans for these that had been pre-planned years in advance. The provocateurs had been putting together these things. They were all scheduled to launch in the spring of 1848. And by golly, they needed to have this document out there that they could point to and say, look, this was pent-up demand. These people really,
all
really
wanted
it. All right,
we'll try to get it. There you go. Good. Keep going, Dr. Bradley.
Okay, well, these people, the story was, these people really wanted this. I mean, this was, my goodness, we didn't know there was that much demand out there. So that's what's happening. These provocateurs, they go set things up, and they get it ready, and then they have a trigger point, basically, that allows it to come forward. And they blame it on that. And I really, truly believe that these so-called riots and insurrections and everything else, they've turned it into World War III in Washington, D.C. in January 6th. That was all established well in advance, and some of this stuff that you were reading before we took a break, really and truly, to me, they're overlooking a big portion of it. I mean, it's kind of like the Ken Starr charges against Bill Clinton, you know, his impeachment charges. He threw the case because the really important stuff was left out. They focused on sex with an intern when the big orders of magnitude, more important stuff, were overlooked. And they're not looking at those things, I don't believe, right now in the way we're handling these things. And it's like the magician. If he's waving his right hand in the air, look at his left hand. I mean, and that's kind of
amen
what I think
that.
The problem is.
And speaking, looking at the left hand, so it's one thing to report on the Capitol Police report saying, hey, there were huge intelligence gathering and reporting failures. I believe it was on purpose. You have one failure, maybe two, I get it. But when you get a bunch of reports, every one of them squashed, and then when it comes live, real day time, then there's nobody above to take any responsibility or action. And then they're like, oh, golly, we just missed it. You know, we've spent millions and millions and millions of dollars. We've been training for this our whole lives. It's our whole purpose for existence. And golly, you know, Larry Gomer Pyle didn't let Ralph know. And geez, Louise, we got confused. You know, okay, it isn't true. It's a lie. And you better wake up and realize that as such. And here's what's happening. Speaking of the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing, for the people. But yet they're coordinated as all get out, and here's the proof. Now Pelosi is talking about the root causes of January 6th. And Nancy Pelosi is announcing, the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, is announcing a probe of the, quote, Capitol insurrection. Art Moore, WND, with the piece. But here's the soundbite from Nancy Pelosi, and then we'll talk about it. All right, well, Cameron cues that up. Yep. Soundbite from Nancy Pelosi.
There are two actual paths. One is about the root causes of it. The white supremacy, the anti-Semitism, the Islamophobia, all the rest of it that was so evident when you see a sweatshirt on one of the people saying Camp Auschwitz. The other is the security of the Capitol and what it means to be ready for such an insurrection. While I think we could have been better prepared, I don't think anybody would have foreseen an insurrection incited by the President of the United States. So the timetable will be as long as it takes. We were agreeable to doing it in a time frame that the Republicans felt comfortable with, but now another month has gone by, and another month has gone by. So we'll just have to make the plan and see how long that takes.
Ladies and gentlemen, catastrophic intelligence failures. 6 months later, they literally charged the first person. What she did was she went to the Capitol, she peacefully entered it, she walked around, and she left. And now they have her cop a plea saying, if I didn't do that, maybe others wouldn't have been so violent. I mean, it's insane where we are. But Nancy Pelosi blatantly saying the President of the United States committed insurrection. And I want to know why there's not charges filed against the president. They impeached him. The problem is we find all the impeachment information they used was fraudulent and a lie. That's already been exposed to a great degree. But now Pelosi says the root causes of the January 6th event is white supremacy, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia. And so now they're going to probe the Capitol. But this is what she's blatantly saying, literally without evidence, 6 months later. Why does that matter? Because they're ratcheting this dragnet up to the next level, Dr. Bradley.
Well, see, that thing they did, the posthumous impeachment, where they tried to blame, you know, the World War III on the president as he went out the back door, and they fell flat on their face. It was nothing. And so they got to stir the pot again. And it's interesting to me that, again, the Reichstag fire of 1933 comes to my mind, where let's blame the communists. Okay, so here we have the Nazis running things, and they're going to blame the communists to make it look like, oh, we got to rally against these guys. Well, what's happening in Washington D.C. with Pelosi? I don't. You call her what kind of category you wish, but she certainly is not standing for liberty and proper government and traditional American, values and all those kind of things. But that party in power is now pointing the finger to the ones that they want to target, just like the Nazis did against the communists in 1933, to rally the people to ultimately put together World War II, excuse me. But the fact of the matter is, that's just what she's doing. She's identifying the criminals without any evidence, of course, but she's decided this is how we've got to point it to make it have the outcome we want. And of course, they'll be the good guys, just like the Nazis were the good guys in 1933 when the Reichstag fire happened and those blasted communists that had burned down our parliament. Oh, my gracious, how terrible is this? All of this stuff is theater. It's all theater. I mean, I don't
it's
care
theater,
if you're talking
but it has real it repercussions for you and me, because here's where I believe that it's headed. They're going to tie this now. Senator Rand Paul speaking out about this as well. Give him a little bit of credit. Biden's gun control crown jewel. The United Nations Small Arms Treaty has been the gun control lobby's crown jewel for decades. And they've been waiting for an anti-gun president like Joe Biden to go ahead and push it through the Senate. They want an all-out effort to push this thing from the through the U.S. Senate. I believe that's what they're pushing here for, because what they'll say is, hey, the Capitol Police made a couple of mistakes. Sure, they weren't really ready for this, but the insurrectionists now, you know what? We've got insurrectionists around the world. There's domestic terrorism. There's foreign terrorists. And you know what? We've got to pass this small arms treaty. I believe they're going to, pardon the pun, gun for this and tie the two together, Dr. Bradley.
Well, first of all, ignorance will allow them to have power. First and foremost, over the top, in every single way, we need to understand that no treaty can subvert and destroy any portion of the Constitution. The Second Amendment is not in danger with this small arms treaty. There'll be a lot of people raising funds and everything, send me $20 and I'll help this not happen and all that kind of stuff. But the facts of the matter is that the treaty cannot destroy the Constitution. Now, if we don't understand that and we live like it did, then we're in trouble. But ignorance is cause of the destruction of much of America. So that small arms treaty, first of all, will not destroy the Second Amendment. Second of all, it will not make it through the Senate. The Senate needs 2/3 of the Senate to go along with this. There will not be 67 senators that go along with this. And so that is not going to happen. I think there may very well be a run at this, and because of the ignorance of the people. Now, I think back in the 1968 Gun Control Act. See, having a historical perspective sometimes helps us weave things together. Lyndon Johnson used 6 cowboy movie stars to have him get the 1968 Gun Control Act through by having these people that were trusted, even though they were just silver screen actors, to help this get through. They went on the talk show programs and everything and did this thing. So, yes, they're probably using this program that way. But the facts of the matter is, number one, a treaty like that cannot destroy the Constitution. Number two, getting 67 votes in the Senate, even if it could destroy it, probably, likely, will not happen. But we as Americans are so gullible, we start acting like cowardly zeks. In Russia, the political prisoners that they put in the gulags were called zeks. We're all zeks. That's where we are, is what we're acting like. And we need to grow
now,
a backbone.
If they jettison the 2/3 majority and they say 50 senators, they might get it. They also
no,
might
no, no, you can't.
It.
You can't.
I understand because you're not supposed to be able to.
No. Article 2 says you got to have 2/3 to ratify a treaty. There must be
right.
2/3.
But all they got to do is call it something slightly different than a treaty and play games with words, and then all they got to do is, you know, maybe have the president start to enact it and never properly ratify it. I mean, there's all kinds of ways they've done this. The point is we need to be aware of this, ladies and gentlemen, and they're really casting a dragnet for us all. Anybody who stands against their agenda now is in the dragnet.
The president, I believe, is going to lose the House and the Senate because of these egregious violations. The things that they're doing, they're trying to make hay while the sun shines, so to speak. But I believe in the 2022 elections, there will be so much blowback on them. If you go after the guns, if you go, you just mess up the immigration thing, if you do everything like the climate treaties, the issues of wide sweeping socialistic programs, I believe you're going to find that the blowback in 2022 is going to be amazing.
Their overreach is extraordinary. I pray you're correct on the point, because, boy, howdy, do we need God, family, and country to stand tall. We need the people to really get engaged and make a difference, and we need to do it now, or real fundamental freedom will be lost, more so than ever before, in my humble opinion. Right now, as you wisely point out, we are at a crossroads. We're kind of at a direction to say, hey, are we going to stand up with the supreme law of the land, or are we going to cave and buckle to tyrannical abuses of power, incredible overreach. The debate's on the table. I pray we do what's right. That's all I can say. For Dr. Scott Bradley, his website, freedomsrisingsun.com. Check out his collegiate series there, his weekly webinars, and a whole lot more. That's freedomsrisingsun.com. I'm Sam Bushman, lovingliberty.net, libertyroundtable.com. God save the Republic.